Well, as you already know, or should know, or was mentioned earlier, Chad is going to start a three-week series, sort of working through the basic foundations of what it means to be a member of a church, at least what the Bible teaches about that. And so this is first Sunday. I had the privilege of working with Chad, and kids can go to children's church at the meantime. I've grown a lot of appreciation for Chad. He is a growing leader. He's really growing into his role as a leader. I marvel again and again at what I can remember when I first came here a few years back. He was, I think, on leadership then, but the Chad he is today is quite a bit different than Chad he was then. He's grown so much, and I think I could say on behalf of all the elders that we really appreciate working with him. He has a heart for what God wants to do in Bridgeway, is doing and is going to do. And so, Lord, I want to pray for Chad as he starts. God, I want to thank you for Chad, and thank you for what you've laid on his heart. And realizing, Lord, that a lot of prep has gone into the last number of months, even last fall as he began to work with the committee looking at the whole thing of what the biblical picture of membership should be or what it is. And today now he's sort of the culmination of a lot of thought and prayer and consideration. And so, Lord, give us attentive ears. Bless him as he leads us and into the next few weeks. And give him an anointing from your Spirit. And Lord, just pray that we can all grow together in our understanding of what it means to be a follower of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thanks. I don't know if you've ever had your heart stop. I wonder if we could just turn the house lights on, guys. That'd be great. I like to see everybody. I just had my heart stop. Danae and I were sitting there, and I go in. Turn on my tablet here, and it didn't. And then I pressed a button again, and it still didn't. And I don't know, it was probably 45 times. And I was like, I'm going to have to do this off of my phone. But then it popped on. And it's like, well, okay. I thought God was going to have me do this just by the seat of my pants, and we'll see how that goes. I would like to echo what Rachel said, that we need to praise God. And I want to just personally praise God for what the family he's giving me. God gave me this desire, and he also gave me this. I am blessed when I hear music, and I hear the sounds, and it sounds good, and it goes into me, and it changes me. And this is what happens in my home. Mona will just sit down at the piano and start to play, and then I'll hear a voice somewhere else singing along in this room and another one over there. It's awesome, you know? And so God put that together, and so I'm so thankful to God for that. Already I start talking about this and I get teary-eyed or whatever, but that's not a good way to start. But I just want to thank God today for the things that he does, those little things that help us and sustain us. We're doing something in our elders' meetings now, just to change things up a bit. We want to bathe the thoughts we have and the conversations we have with elders in prayer. So this last time what we did was, before and after each agenda item, we would pray about it. And so then I was preparing for this, and I thought, well, why don't we do that here? Now, the only problem is, as soon as you hear someone, after they've spoken a little while, say, let's pray, you immediately think that your stomach starts to growl, and you think, now we're done. So we're going to do that a few times, and maybe your stomach might growl, but I'll let you know when the last one is, so that you have permission for that. So interspersed throughout this, I really want to bathe this, or I was going to say sandwich it, but it's more like a Big Mac, because the prayers are going to be inside all along. So I hope to do that this morning. Some of you haven't been here before, and some of you haven't been here in a while, and I'm so thankful that you're here today. Just to give you a little bit of background of where we're coming from. About a year ago, the elder team, we began to look at the idea of what membership means. And we said, what are we going to have to do to make this happen? So we said, let's get a group of people together, people who are in our church. Maybe they won't be members. Maybe they are members. We want to get these people together and start talking about it. So a group of people got together. Those are Dave Penner, Teresa Hildebrandt, Jill Martins, Scott Matthews, and myself. And we began to talk about what it means to be a member. And those are great discussions. I really enjoyed them. I could have had more. But at some point, we came to the point where we said, we can make a recommendation to the elder team. So we did that. I presented it to the board at one of our meetings. The board accepted and had some conversation about some of the things. Like at our membership review team, we didn't really always agree. And so sometimes we're like, well, it could go this way. Well, I think it should be this way, and I should think it should be this way. So part of our recommendation was, that's not our job to decide as the review team. We gave it to the board. And so the men on the elder team and men and ladies, and Julie was there too, all of us, we said, okay, let's wrestle with this. Let's make some decisions. So we did that. And so they handed it off to me and Bob to sit down during the summer and introduce what it looks like to be a member at Bridgeway Community Church. At the beginning of September, we presented it to the elder team. The elders made some tweaks here and there. We talked about it, and here I stand. I've been thinking about this for a while. I believe it was in May where we decided that I would be allowed to have 3 Sundays here to talk about this. And ever since then, it's been on my mind and been in my heart, the things that I need to communicate about what it means to be a member. If you're not a member here or don't live here or just visiting, I encourage you, you're not going to hear me ever speak and not talk about Jesus. So it's coming today, and it's coming next week and the week after, because I just can't help it, because he's so part of it that it is just there all the time. So I pray that you who are visiting, that you would be encouraged by what we have to say today. Bob and I sat down and we had a look at what it means to be a member, but we wanted a fresh look. So we decided that we wouldn't just look at what we have already. I mean, people sat down and they thought long and hard about what we have right now, what it means to be a member, and that was good. And we had some other examples from other churches where we looked at it and said, what does it mean? And we talked about that, and that was good too. But we said, let's just give a fresh look at this. We'll throw something together, see what the Holy Spirit is going to lead us and guide us in, and then we'll go look at the other ones. And we'll take a closer look and see what happens. And so, inevitably, if I'm leading a discussion, there's a whiteboard involved, and I'm writing things down, and I'm taking ideas, because I just love to do that. I think it's even just the squeak of the marker that I like. And so I start thinking, and that gets my brain working. And so we started writing things down, and pretty soon, Bob and I started to see some trends and some categories happening on their own. And so then we started to look at it, and we started to put them together. And we got to the end, and we looked at it, and it was like, yeah, this looks pretty good. We want something, a document. I wasn't going to use that word. We want a statement. Now, it's a long statement. It's a whole document worth of a statement. but we want something that we can look at that will be part of how we do church at Bridgeway, and not something that we just stick in a book. We want something where we can say, this is a part of our life here. This is a part of my life at Bridgeway Community Church, and this is a part of Chad and the people that Chad interacts with in this biblical community we have here. So, we did it. Bob and I got through it, and, you know, we looked at it, and it's like, okay, let's look at the other ones. And the details were the same. You know, we still believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God who came here and took my sins away. But the look of it was different. And the look of it was what we feel is good. This is me, as far as the membership here goes, making a proposal to you. I want to present this in a way that is, you know, obviously we put a lot of time and effort into it, and we feel that this is God, the way God is leading us. And so the elder team says, let's present this. So that's where I'm at right now. I have 3 weeks. There's three distinct ideas that we want to talk about. And so long as my tablet keeps telling me what I'm supposed to say here, we'll get her done. I'm going to pray now. This is one of the in-between pieces of the Big Mac, okay? Let's pray. Dear God, I'm so thankful that you have placed everyone who is here today in these pews. I thank you so much that you have put us on a journey here at Bridgeway in the last few years of change and renewal, and I pray that that would continue. This morning, I pray that your words would be the ones that come out of my mouth, that I would be able to communicate well, and that they might know that you love them in spite of them. Amen. What is this about today? Let me tell you what it's not about. It's not about how to become a member. It's not about that today. And I know some of you, the questions in your mind are, but that's what I've been waiting for. That's what I've been wondering about. That's not what we're talking about today. In fact, we're probably not going to talk about that to the very end on the last Sunday in 3 weeks. We're not going to talk about what it means to not be a member, when you are all of a sudden not a member of Bridgeway Community Church, or when you are. Not today. Not next time either. We're not going to talk about those things. But I will tell you what we are going to talk about. We're going to talk about my heart, and we're going to talk about your heart. So when we're sitting here, and hopefully in your pews today, you can just sit there and not think about Bridgeway Community Church as a whole. I want you to picture yourself thinking about yourself today. This is why it can apply to you. The beauty of the gospel is that I don't care how little you are, how old you are, whether you have no hair or whether you have gray hair. It doesn't matter. It speaks to us. And so I don't think we can talk about being a member without identifying our identity in Jesus Christ. So that's where I'm going to go today. There are three parts of membership. The first one that I'm going to talk about today is who we are, who I am, who Chad is, who you are. That's such an important part. Next week, I'm going to talk about how that affects your life, your individual life. And the week after that, how does it affect our life as a community? Identity. Let's talk about our identity. Who am I? I go through my world. I go to school. I see kids. And I watch a lot of them, 14, 15 years old. They're in a desperate search so many times to find their own identity. They're in that place where pretty soon they're going to be leaving home. They're going to be walking away. And who am I? What defines me? And they start to look at their qualities. They start to look at if they're good at this and I'm good at that. You know, in school there's lots of talk about what are you going to do for the rest of your life? Okay? Well, probably more than one thing. I'll tell you that right now. I've done two or three. But what are you going to do? What defines you? And you have these kids making choices. Some are good. Some are not good. Where is their identity? And even once we get past, so now we're headed out and we're becoming adults. We're getting married, right? We are having children. I tell you, those things changed who I think I am. We're finding out who we are ourselves and our identity. I don't think we can talk about our identity until we talk about God. Because when we were made, when we were thought of, there was a creator. And that creator came and he decided a few things about me and a few things about you. So I think we need to go to our creator. And our creator can be learned about in the Bible. So let's go to John 1. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn there. John 1, Mona and I this summer had the privilege of going to Miller and spending a week learning about the book of John from Murray Hebert, and he gave us some insights that we hadn't heard before. And as I prepared to go there, I started to read about the book of John, and in the passage that I was reading in the translation, it had the first 18 verses that looked different than the rest. Pardon me. I know if you would look in your Bible right now, and you probably have columns, and in those columns you would see that it's straight on either side, until you go to the Psalms, and it's written a little bit different. It's all jagged, right? Like poetry or whatever you want to call it. Well, the first 18 verses in this book that I read of John were written like poetry. And so then it's like, I haven't seen this before. This is different. It's almost like Star Wars. Now you're like, huh? Star Wars. Or if you remember at the start of a movie where they have a scrolling words and they sort of appear in the bottom and they disappear, that's what these first 18 verses is doing for the book of John. It's introducing us to the story. It tells us the whole story. If you were at camp, for family camp, you've heard me talk a little bit about this already. I had a lot of fun there talking about these 18 verses. But let's look at those 18 verses. I want to read the passage. I'll read the first few verses, then I'm going to stop and change it up a bit. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, what are they talking about there? The Word. In the beginning was the Word. If you don't have a Bible, you wouldn't notice that the word Word is a capital W word. It's like important. And it's a name. And that word is Jesus. So I'm going to switch it up a little bit. I'm going to read this and throw Jesus' name in there. Because when I do that, it makes it just richens it for me. Good. Let's do that. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Jesus. And apart from Jesus, not one thing was created that has been created. That's pretty significant, I would say. Not one single thing has been created that Jesus wasn't there for. Verse 4. Life was in Jesus, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man named John who was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify about the light. That would be Jesus. So that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light, the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world. Let's say that again. Jesus was in the world, and the world was created through Jesus. Yet the world did not recognize Jesus. Jesus came to his own, and his own people did not receive Jesus. But to all who did receive Jesus, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believed in Jesus' name, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. Jesus became flesh and took up residence among us. We observe Jesus' glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 16, indeed we have all received grace after grace from his fullness. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the one and only Son, the one who is at the Father's Son. He has revealed him. I read that through and it blew me away. There's a few things that really did blow me away though. And that is verses 4 and 5, and let me read those again. Life was in him, Jesus, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. Darkness. We have this way. Let me say, I have this way. You can relate, if you can relate. I have this way of thinking that the darkness of the world is always just someone else, or just the general darkness of the world around me. It doesn't take much to be able to look at the news these days, or you don't even have to look at the news, you just go outside. Or you go and look at your car. Cars are a big part of my life. Fixing cars is another big part of my life. One thing I know, from the day that you pick that car up from the dealership to the day that it is done, it is in a state of destruction. It's falling apart as you go. You don't know it because it feels good for a little while. But if you own it long enough, it'll start to shake a little here. Maybe a little something you notice. I don't know if you notice it, but the curse of being a mechanic is you notice everything. You feel every single bump, every single clunk. And I notice it's all falling apart. We look at our world and we see that darkness out there. And my habit is that all I see is the darkness that I can see out there. The problem is, there's darkness in here. If someone offends you, you immediately think the worst of them. It's so easy to see the darkness in someone else. You know, someone will cut me off. I'll be driving along. Someone will cut me off. I know I always have driving references when I speak, but someone cuts me off, and it's like, how could they do that? And I immediately think that they did it on purpose to really make me mad. Does that make any sense whatsoever? Except the time where I drive through a stop sign because I'm thinking about something else, and they are angry at me because you see that look in their eyes, or maybe some kind of gesture, and they're mad at me, and I think, well, I didn't mean to. So here I am looking at others, not willing to look at myself the same way. Darkness is within me. It is the situation of creation. I just thought of that one. It sort of rhymes, and so I thought I'd just say it. The situation of creation is the fact that there is darkness throughout, and there is light. And we think we have the light. We go and think we follow this light very often. Whenever we want to fill something with our lives and we feel like we got to fill it with something, we're searching for that light because the darkness is there. And if we're honest with ourselves, it is there a lot. I want to be honest here. Because honesty is really what this world needs. We think about Bridgeway and the things that we do. This is just a little bit of a rant. When you come in to a new place, and if all you see is fake people, people putting a smile on and not really knowing what their struggles are because no one talks about them, you're not going to come back. So I have a confession to make. This summer, Bob and I were visiting. And we were talking about this. And I said to him, Bob, what role does evil forces, does Satan have in my life? Because I just spent a day arguing in my mind with my wife about something. I can't even remember what it was now. But I do know that I was right. Inevitably, I know it. Just ask me. I knew it. And if she would only understand that. And yet, there we were. Tension was building. Have you been in that room where there's tension? No words are said. And yet, there it is. The tension is there. And I went away. I had stuff to do, and I was gone. And all I could think about is what I would say to win the argument. And it was consuming. It was all that I could think about. I'd gone to school. I was organizing, doing a lot of organizing this summer in my shop there. And so I was working at it, and I was sorting sockets, which really doesn't take a lot of thought. So I was thinking a lot about other things. One thing, how right I was. And I couldn't get out of it. In fact, I knew that I shouldn't be thinking this way. And yet, it was, I just couldn't not. And Bob looked at me and said, "You struggle with that?" And I said, "Oh my goodness." So my confession today is, man, I hope you don't think I have it all together. Because I don't. And I don't know if you do. But I don't. And it seems to me that if you think you do, you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. Because he's going to tell you. Remember, we were going to talk about identity. What is this identity? Well, part of my identity says that I am a lost soul. I need Jesus. And it's not just this world that's lost and in darkness. It's Chad. Deep down, Chad wants to go on his own way. I have to confess that sometimes, I'm going to back up a bit. So often we think of sin and we think, oh, I offended that person. Sorry, I offended you. I didn't mean to. That's not the sin God is talking about. This is the sin God is talking about. Sometimes Chad makes decisions that hurts other people and benefits himself, and he does it intentionally. Is there anyone else here who intentionally hurts people to benefit themselves? That's a sin. It's not the whoops. Oops, sorry, didn't mean that. That's not what it is. It's these things that I do, that Chad does, that rejects God's role in his life. Like I do things against God, and I do it again. That's the darkness. When we were at our elders' meeting, I mentioned this. And Julie said to me, "I'm glad you said that. I thought I was the only one." Well, it's about time we started to talk about it. The sin in our hearts. Remember, I was going to talk about identity. I'm going to, but we're going to pray first. This is another thing in the Big Mac. Let's pray. Dear God, I am so thankful today that, again, you have placed us here. Lord, I thank you for revealing to me how dark my heart is, how dark the hearts of the people of Bridgeway Community Church, in fact, the whole world, are. Thank you for revealing that to me. Amen. There's a good thing. It's not all bad news. Praise the Lord for that. Yesterday, I went to a good funeral. Have you ever been to a good funeral? Yesterday was a good funeral. How many people were at Elizabeth Dirksen's funeral yesterday? It was good. This woman of 92 years went home to be with the Lord. And I had everything planned out for this sermon. And then we read their Psalm 103. And that's a gooder. So I'm going to read it. I need to. Psalm 103. You can go there. If not, you can just listen. I'm going to pray before we do this. Dear God, we are going to dig into words that you have placed in the Bible, written by David, whom you truly loved, a man after God's own heart. And I pray that as we read this, we would let these words soak into us and that we real, that we would just not know it on a surface level, but that it would dig deep into our hearts. Amen. Verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul. In all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. I bet there's darkness in a pit. But if you got a crown on, it's not darkness there. Verse 5, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. Verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. This is why we have to go back to Jesus to find out who we are. Verse 15, as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from the everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love, everlasting to everlasting. Take infinity and put up a... No, you can't even do it. Anyways. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you whose angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly host, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I couldn't not read that. I just had to. Because it started to dig into some of the things that we needed to dig into. There is darkness, but there is light. And I'm so glad that God chose me to reveal that light to. This is my identity. This morning, Brenda in Sunday school read a passage. You are the light. Now, Jesus was talking to his disciples. He was talking to us. We are the light. Not only is Jesus the light and we were dark, but he has called us to light that we need to shine to the world. If we look at verse 13 in that passage, in Psalm 103, it says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. Children is a big part of what we want to be here. Part of a family, part of God's family. He is our God. He is our Father. We are co-heirs with Christ. That changes things. If we go back to John 1, verse 10, Jesus was in the world and the world was created through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. But... and this is a beautiful but. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name. Can I have an amen for that? Amen. Yeah. That is so true. new life, new family. We've been a witness of that here this last few weeks. Brenda stood up here and told us a story of a new life and a new family. Daniel has a new family. Can you imagine what that's like? You have these people in your life that love you. But what if there was a time where you just didn't know that night if that's where you were going to put your head for a long time? You didn't know. And then all of a sudden, one day, you get that. And you get those brothers, and you get those sisters, and you get that mom and that dad, and you get the pony. Maybe not the zip line yet, but you got the horse. And God has given you these things. Sometimes we read these passages, and I've been a Christian all my life, and it just, poof. We got to stop, and we got to let ourselves sink into it. What does it look like to not know and then to know? To have no family and then have family. To be in the dark, in the pit, and then to have crowns. And not just any family. The family. Like if it ever was the family, this is the family. That again was another rant. It's awesome. Now comes the hard stuff. If this is true, what then? If what we say is true, if I am a sinner saved by grace, if I am in darkness, in a world of darkness, and this is all around me, if Jesus loved me enough to carry his cross, die on it, raise again, come back to life. If Jesus did these things for me, I got to talk personally. Chad needs to say, if I believe that Jesus Christ did these things for me when I don't deserve it. In fact, he didn't give me what I did deserve. And then gave me what I didn't deserve. If this is true, then that somehow has to change me. That has to change my life and how I do life. So how should it change me? Let's ask somebody. I suggest we ask Jesus. Let's do that. Mark 8, verse 34. If you want to turn there, please do. It's a powerful verse. Mark 8, verse 34. As I'm reading it, remember to keep in mind, if this is true, then what next? Before I read it, I have to tell you, on Monday night, I was here, empty room, going through this. And I began to talk, and I like to do that because it helps me develop thoughts out loud to prepare. And so I was here talking to nobody. The room was empty except I was here. And about an hour and a half later, so I hope you're not hungry yet, but an hour and a half later, I came to a point of, I felt I had to have an altar call. And nobody was here. And so, but there was one person here, and that was me. And Jesus messed me right up. If this is true, then what? Because I can't just say it. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. What does that mean? Is anybody seeing that in my life right now? Yeah, maybe you look and see that. But when I go home, and how many people, the worst place that they act is when they're with their own families. That's me in my life. We suddenly say, it doesn't matter. I don't have to pretend to be good now. I can just let it all out. God messed me up. And he's been doing that. And I don't like it. And I like it. Let's read Mark 8. Summoning the crowd along with his disciples, he said, "If anyone wants to be my follower, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." We need to look at this passage just a little bit. Now, I know it's 12 o'clock, but I'm not done. Follower. What's another name for follower? It's disciple. You're going to hear that word in our church a lot. Being a disciple. What does a disciple look like? I'll tell you what it means. If anyone wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Had Jesus been on the cross yet? Nope. This hadn't happened. And so Jesus is saying these things and the disciples are going, what's he talking about? Well, there were crosses all over the place back then. That's how they did business. That's how the Romans scared people into obeying. They put up crosses with people on them. Take up his cross. You knew that if you were grabbing your cross and you were going along, the next step after that was death. Dead. If anyone wants to be my follower, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We've had some great examples in our church in the last few months of people denying themselves. Russ and, is it Lorelei Nickel? Their family, kids move away from home. What do? Sell their house, sell their possessions, go halfway across the world. They just felt compelled because God was telling them to do that. Jason and Sandy Funk, living in Maple Creek, Meadow Lake, some M. Yeah, there you go, Meadow Lake. God has called them to go to Africa. That is awesome. But we sit here and we say to ourselves, God has called them to do that. Good for them. I'm going to give them $50 a month. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to give it to them and I'm going to help them do their work. And I'm going to go on with my day. And maybe in our deep in our hearts we say, well, I'm glad God isn't telling me to do that. Let me tell you something. He is. He's telling me to do that. He's telling you to do that. Maybe the only difference between us and missionaries is that we don't have to go ask for money. Because God has already given us a job. He's given us the money to do the work here where we are. Could it be? I got to read that verse again. He said to them, "If anyone wants to be my follower, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses life because of me and the gospel will save it. What does it benefit a man to gain the whole world yet lose his life? What can a man give in exchange for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." We talk a lot in our world about balance. It's good to be balanced. Good to live a balanced life. I want to make sure that I spend time with my children. I also need to go to my work and spend time there. I'm going to balance this all out. This verse does not speak to balance. This verse speaks to imbalance. This verse speaks to messing me up so I don't live in that safe way. Imbalance. this is why it's messing me up. Because I've lived for 45 years. And I'm slowly coming to the realization that it's not about balance. Bob and Darren are going to go through Acts. There's a lot of stories about people giving everything up. Just read the Gospels. Jesus doesn't once ask people to live the normal life. He asks them to give it all away. The rich young ruler, give away everything you have. Follow me. Oh, there's that word, follow. There's so many examples of what Christ asks us to do. Some of you may be saying, Chad, you can't say that to me. Maybe I can't. But I would encourage you to read the Bible. What would happen if we lived a life of imbalance here as a community at Bridgeway Community Church? What could happen? Let me tell you, it's scary. It is. Like when you say, God, you can have everything. I'm going to obey you in everything that you ask me to do. That takes it to another level. That just kicks it right up, especially if you're being honest with yourself. Because now all of a sudden, you got to do whatever he says. And he just might do something that you don't want to do. In fact, he probably will ask you to do something that you don't feel comfortable doing. He'll do that. Guaranteed. So I would encourage you not to take this lightly. Jesus never let anyone take it lightly. He didn't. What would it be like if we lived a life of imbalance? I'm going to go home today, and I'm going to think about this. It's scary for me on another level, because I know that I have everyone here looking at me and wondering, what kind of imbalance Chad is going to be living in this week? I'll tell you what I need. I need you. And I think we need each other to live this way. This is the bottom of the Big Mac now. We've reached the end. I'm going to pray. Dear God, I am so thankful for our day today, because this day included you. This day included listening to your words as we speak them. This day included reading your Bible, your words. That's this day. This is heavy stuff, Lord. I thank you that when you went away, you gave us the Holy Spirit, that presence in our lives to lead us and guide us. And I pray for submission in our hearts today, to the hearts of the men and women and kids and teenagers and whoever you are here today. I pray that we would submit to you, that our hearts might be changed, that this might actually mean something. That we would look at where we are in our relationship with you and say, I need to be closer to Jesus. I need to be closer. Lord God, I pray that the people who would come into our doors and the people that would notice us on our doorsteps and the people that we run into our work and the people that we encounter in every aspect of our lives, I pray that we would live lives and say the things that you require us to do to make your glory known. That we may truly believe what you have said, that we are lost and you saved us. And that's the most important thing ever. You rescued us from the pit and put us on glory. Nothing else in the world does that. In your name I pray. Amen. Always have a, let's just say one more thing. There's always, whenever I speak, then I never know. I feel like running away, quite honestly. Sneaking out the back door and just getting lost. Because I don't know how to, sort of respond. Because if I've challenged you, then it can get awkward. Well, I hope it is. I hope it's awkward. I hope that you feel that you need to make some choices, because I know I have. And I know that we can do that together, and it could be awesome. I would encourage you to look at Psalm 103. Not only did they read that at the funeral yesterday, Brenda had us read it this morning. And so it's not coincidence anymore. Psalm 103 and Mark 8, verse 34. What he has called us, how he has called us to respond. This is the most important part of being a member at Bridgeway Community Church. This. If you don't have this and don't understand this, then you have nothing to build it on. Then we're not doing church the way God wants us to do church. Bob, do you have anything to say? Let's go have a week of wondering what God has in store for us on your own and as Bridgeway. Amen. Thank you.